Janet Ryan changed buses 3 times to reach the neighborhood where her parents lived, each time swiping her ID through the monitor, depositing tokens, and using her family privilege card to pass out of one sector and into another. With each swipe of her ID, a camera took a picture of her and filed it in the Homeland Security computer that kept track of who traveled out of their neighborhoods and why. Janet got off the bus a couple of blocks from the park where she was to meet her parents. As she walked, she noticed that the air quality was better than usual. She had checked with the Weather Channel and found that they recommended a No. 3 Easy Breathe scarf to filter out the ever-present chemicals that permeated the air. Janet was surrounded by the daily messages on the news channels, the Weather Channel, and billboards proclaiming that the chemicals that were sent out into the atmosphere by the factories in the greatest country on the planet were a necessary part of doing business. Janet walked slowly, not wanting to breathe too deeply. Doing so might allow too many of the chemicals in the air to tax the scarf's filtration system, in which case she would inhale a dangerous level of the noxious air and get sick. As she approached the edge of the neighborhood park, Janet spotted her parents sitting on a bench. She waved in recognition, and they waved back. "Hi, Janie," said her father Jim as he hugged her. After their embrace, Janet turned and hugged her mother, Emily, who started to cry. "Mom, what's wrong?" asked Janet. Janet's mother didn't answer, and her crying became more intense. Janet positioned herself between her parents as her father said, "Let's walk. We need to talk." The Ryan family walked slowly into the park and down a path that took them away from the areas where people usually gathered.
"I don't think the listening devices extend this far into the park. We've asked you to come here for your monthly visit instead of coming to the house because we want to make sure nobody overhears us," said Jim.
"Why do you think anyone would hear us?" asked Janet.
"Oh, this isn't newsworthy to anyone except us and Homeland Security. I turned 55 2 weeks ago. I got notice that I have to sell the business and move to an elderly home. Your mother can come with me, or she can move to a small apartment near the home," said Jim.
"Oh my God, I thought that you were exempted from the elderly expectations. What happened?" asked Janet.
"As you know, we were promised that we would be exempted when we participated in the rebirth of the city's plan. I designed the new neighborhoods that put people in specific sectors as a way to prevent terrorism. Just in case the promises made to us weren't kept, we managed to work out a deal with Josh Connor, my partner, to put the architecture company in his name and to pay us in cash over time. We didn't dare put the money in the bank. We hid it in the house and started looking for the group that was rumored to get people out of the country. We couldn't seek asylum until we reached the ages where Homeland Security could move us. We're now considered political refugees. I never knew that all those houses and apartments in all those neighborhoods would be used to restrict people the way they have. Families with a member who has been accused of committing a crime can't move out of the neighborhood. They can't send their children to college. People in working-class neighborhoods can't ever get out. Their children can't go to college and are only eligible for blue-collar jobs. It's almost like slavery. I wonder sometimes if I would have cooperated had I known the outcome. Then I think about the fact that I really didn't have a choice, even though certain privileges were dangled in front of my nose," said Jim.
"Where will you go?" asked Janet.
"We can't tell you that. You'll be under suspicion the minute they figure out that we are gone. Right now, we have people driving by the house all hours of the day and night checking on us."
"If you're being watched so closely, how can you get away?"